Here we go. We got this really super cool series that we're in the middle of. What do I believe? Even when I don't know what to believe. And it's an invitation to know and to love God. You know, every time we're challenged on what do I believe and why do I believe it, it's an invitation to know God. It's an invitation to know Him on a deeper level because our faith is growing. Now, I don't know how you grew up as a child. I grew up in a Catholic church. I was an altar boy, believe it or not. And so I went to CCD, catechism. How many of y'all remember catechism? Yeah, I see those hands. Yeah. Catechism. It was a faith formation designed actually to be a question and answer time and inform your faith in Christ. Now, I diligently went to CCD on Saturday mornings, and then eventually in junior high, they figured out that junior high kids don't get up on Saturday morning, and I went on Monday evenings. And then I did this thing called confirmation. And at confirmation, it was a really, really big deal. You got confirmed into the faith. And it was a big, big deal. Like when you got confirmed, you were like all in. You had to like do this test, and the priest had, you had to answer questions and all this deal. And now, when I got confirmed, it was that evening, and we were celebrating afterwards, and somebody walked up to me, and they said, "How does it feel now that you're confirmed?" And I'll never forget, I remember I touched myself, and I says, "I don't feel any different." And the only problem was my mom was there, and she didn't find the humor. As a matter of fact, it was a very, very long trip home, actually. I just remember those like 2.5 miles home. It was long. It took a long, long trip. And she explained to me why I feel different now, okay? But this is what I'm trying to say. Like, see, many people, like when we pray the prayer, like, "Jesus, be the leader of my life, I'm in, like, forgive me." Like, I intrinsically learned something. After you get confirmed, you don't have to go to CCD anymore. CCD, catechism, learning, that's for the smart people. And then there's me. No, I'm serious. This is what I learned. I learned that once you get in, you're in. There's nothing really to learn. But really, there's nothing further from the truth. See, when you pray what we call maybe a prayer of salvation, you become born again, you cross the bridge, you become a follower of Jesus. We then spend the rest of our lives here on earth figuring out what happened in that moment. That's really what we're doing. We're figuring out what really happened. What really happened in our lives, and we're learning about it constantly. Now, it's kind of like marriage. This coming October, it'll be 35 years that I've been married to Natalie. And what happens in marriage, once you get married, you have this great, big, huge celebration, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to figure out what you just did. Come on. Sometimes it's an adventure, and other times it's a mystery. Are you with me now? The same is with our faith. At times, there's this adventure. We're going to Honduras. We're going to go accomplish this. This church is awesome. And there's other times, "God, where are you? What are you doing?" That's called faith. And that's why we grow in faith. And that's how we grow in faith. And so, what do I believe about God as the Father? And what do I believe about Him as Creator? This is it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. But for us, yeah, there's one God, the Father, by whom all things were created, in whom we live. But for us who are believers, that's who the Bible is written to in Corinth, the church in Corinth. But for us, there's one God, the Father, whom we were all created, and now whom we live. This is a big deal. We got to figure out what this means. Why is there a challenge here? This is it. See, we will either see ourselves as created by God and in His image, or we will create God in our image, or what we think is our image of Him. And if we don't have truth to base it on, we will base our faith based on what we think God is like rather than what he's really like. Who is he? Who is he to you personally here? See, there's three basic questions we all ask about our lives. Everybody asks these questions. I don't care if you're a follower of Jesus or this is your first time ever in church here. This is it. We all want to know where we came from. We want to know, why am I here? Who am I? And what's my future? Am I right or wrong? We struggle with these three things. We're always asking that. Who am I? Why am I here? Why did you put me here? What's my purpose? Where did I come from? What's the origin? And where am I going? May I suggest to you, God the Father, creator of heaven and earth and all that is in it, answers all three of these questions. So the very questions that we have at the core of our being are answered in creation. Now, every decision that you make in your life, every decision you make in your life will be based on these three things. Who is God? Who are you? And who are we? It goes like this. Who's he? Who's me? And who is we? All the way home. Come on, somebody. That's right. Who is he? Everybody say, who is he?
Who is,
who is me?
Who is he?
And who is we?
Who is he?
You can only say that in Pittsburgh. If I was other places, who are we? Yeah, come on. Yeah, but these three questions, once you answer them in a biblical sense, all your decisions, they're taken care of. Because we know now how we should behave, how we should live, because I've settled these things in our heart. But there's times that they're challenged. There's times that we're not sure what we believe. So we've been wrestling. We've been going over this. And I'm just telling you, those songs during worship today lit me up. You know why? Because they're a foundation. They're a foundation of who we are. And we need to be singing those. And so there's seven foundational beliefs that we believe you have to have in Christianity. God the Father, creator of heaven and earth and all that is in it. Now, this is the first one. And there's six more. And if you come back, you'll hear about all these. No, I'm serious. We're going to cover all of these. You know why? Because we live in a world that right now that we don't know what we believe. And I'm not faulting anybody. I'm a pastor. So if anybody should be at fault, I'm like, okay. No, I'm serious. And so there's all these other ones, and you're going to need to take a picture of this because we're going to keep going after all these. No, we're going to keep going after. And here's the first four, and then there's more there that we're going to go after more and more and more here. So are you ready to start now?
Yes.
Okay, Genesis 1:1. If you're going to go to the beginning, go to the beginning. Yeah, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the heavens and the earth. Created, it's to form or to fashion, to produce or to create here. This is so significant here. So many of the questions that we have are found right here. I know what you're thinking. Oh, that's just Genesis. Teach us about Jesus. I don't know if you know this or not, but in the New Testament, Genesis is referred to at least 165 times. It's quoted and referred to, if you look at it multiple times, like in the Gospels, the same things. It's over 200 times the book of Genesis shows up in the New Testament. Now, if it's that important to keep referring to it, how many of y'all know it's pretty important? So it's the foundation by which we believe, and the whole book, the whole Bible is tied together in this story. But it's not just a story. It tells us the truth of things here. And what we need to see is this, that the world was not created by chance. It was created on purpose with a purpose here. And God as creator says that we have meaning, we have purpose, and we have destiny. And if you erase God as creator, you do not, then your life is just completely random. We lose purpose, we lose destiny, and we lose who we are. As we look at what we believe and why we believe it, it answers all these questions and it's so significant. And why do we need to know this? Well, let's look at some studies here. Lifeway 2022 professing evangelical Christians. It's interesting that evangelical means that you believe in the authority of the word and you believe in the good news. I'm oversimplifying. But it's interesting here that 48% of people in any given church, just like here, say that God learns and adapts to different circumstances. That means if you have a certain circumstance, he adapts and changes for you. No, I'm serious. Many of you, I'm not making fun of that. Many people in the room right now may feel that way. And what I'm doing is I'm challenging all of us, what do we really believe and why? Don't leave it just like, well, that's just smart people. That's not for me. No, you can understand the word of God. Okay, no, I thought it was going to be much better there. You can and will understand God's plan and purpose in the Word of God.
Amen.
And look at another one. Everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God. 65%. Obviously, they were not parents. Just a thought. Yeah. And God accepts the worship of all religions. Yes, 56%. And Jesus was a really cool teacher, but he really wasn't God. 43% of evangelical Christians believe that. But what we don't understand is how these beliefs affect our behaviors. And if we don't go back to foundational beliefs and figure these things out, why do I believe this? We're going to have wrong behavior, and we don't know why. Another interesting one, it's not on a screen here, is that over 50% of evangelical Christians actually believe that the Word of God, the Bible, is the inerrant, infallible, word, inspired Word of God. So if it's just another book and it's poetry or it's just stories or history, then we're devoid of purpose. We're devoid of all of these things, and it affects us. So what I want to do is I want to go, first of all, just for a brief look at the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Here it is, not three gods working together in unison, not one God manifesting himself in three different ways, three distinct persons who are fully God. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a person that has a significant function here. Now, where do we see this? You see, actually, the Trinity found in Genesis 1:1, because the Hebrew word there, Elohim, is actually has a plural connotation to it. It's three gods in one. So even in the first book of the Bible, we see the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit at work. So we see it from the beginning all the way through to the end. And it begins to make sense when you see how they function. I don't know how you learn. I learn by sometimes like the way something works. By the way something works, when I see it, it's like, oh, that's it. How many people are you, like? Yeah, okay, so let's look at some functions here. Let's look at God the Father here. God the Father initiates the plan for salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave. He initiates love. He initiates the plan. I believe God's the initiator here. And God the Son accomplishes salvation. Yeah, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. There's only one way. This is a really big deal. Do we really believe that? Because if you really believe that, it affects a lot of the things and decisions you make in your life. It affects a lot of the outcome of it. And God the Spirit applies salvation. So we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. The Spirit is an advocate working on our behalf. And so when you have these three things here, it's like having three benefits. It's like having health care, vision, and dental. Many people just want one. They just say, I just want vision. I don't want health care. I don't want health. I don't want health taken care of. I don't want dental. I don't want any of these things. No, you get all three. And there's a benefit to all three. That there's a benefit that we're not utilizing, I hate to use the word taking advantage of, but we're not utilizing because we're not seeing the distinct effect and the distinct process of all three. Initiate, accomplish, and apply. Okay, let me illustrate it a different way. When we pray this way. We pray to God the Father. We pray through Jesus, the Son, that gives us access to Him. That's in Hebrews. We come boldly before the throne of grace to find strength and help. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. He taught us to pray that way. He's the access. And then with the help of the Holy Spirit. So I pray to God the Father, through Jesus, consistent with His nature, His character, and His purpose, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Like, Holy Spirit, help me. Through discernment thereof. These are the ways that the Trinity functions here. And so a foundational belief is God the Father. God the Father is a significant one here. When you say God the Father, that means I have a provider, a protector, and He takes it personal. I'm telling you, when you start to believe in the reality of God the Father, I mean, giving becomes a joy because I got a provider you know not of. It becomes a joy because He is my provider. God's the one who gives to me. God's the one who has blessed me. I have a protector. Listen, God protects me, but not in the sense of a hovering parent. He allows me to go through stuff because He's a good parent and He wants me to learn to trust Him. Our concept is removal of all problems and pain. No, see, rather than getting, see, we get this whole thing, well, I didn't have a good dad, and so I have trouble with God. Why don't we flip the script and say, God's a great example of a father. Let's look to Him. And I can't go back in any of our childhoods and change our natural father, nor can I change our five kids. I can't change what I did as a dad. But I can say this, I can then point to God the Father, who is a great example. And so rather than getting hung up on here on earth, why don't we get all hung up in heaven with who He is? I got a provider. That's who He is. Come on. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. One. When this was written, there were a lot of different gods, small g. So when God said there's not a bunch of gods, there's only one, this was a big deal. Do you hear in our culture right now? There's a lot of gods. There's a lot of religions. They all go to the same place. Everybody's entitled to one. And if you don't like any of them, just create your own. No, I'm serious. This is what it is. Just create your own. It's like, no, from the beginning through to the end, behold, your God is one. There's only one God. Go back to the first commandment. It will tell us that. Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. We carry His name, God the Father. And the more we remove ourselves from God the Father, the more we reflect the image of this world. I carry His name, but just not in name only, I carry His nature and purpose. It's not like those who have Timberland boots and Carhartt stuff but never do any work. I'm just thinking out loud. No. When you carry His name, you do that stuff. He's equipped you and He's training you to do that stuff. And many people here today, you were sitting here going, I could never go on a missions trip. I just don't have enough money. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough time. Oh, come on now. You could go. And we would be so thrilled to send you. And welcome you back. No, I'm seriously, we roll ourselves out, but because we don't see Him as God the Father. But most of all, God wants a personal relationship with us. You have to understand, God the Father means that he takes it personal. Do you know that Christianity is the only world religion in which you can know God the Father? See, what I'm trying to say, many people are going to tell you, well, Christianity, you have to be mindless, it's unintelligent, it's unreasonable, it's illogical. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's reasonable, it's logical, but it does require faith, and it's faith for a relationship, not a ritual. Yeah, now let me try to illustrate it to you this way. There's a very good doctrinal, theological movie. How many of y'all are familiar with Buddy the Elf? Come on. Very theological. Buddy's an elf. He comes from the North Pole. And he's with ordinary people. And they start talking about Santa. And if you remember in the movie, he lights up. Right? And what's he say? I know him. I know him. I don't just know about him. I just don't sing Christmas carols. I know him. Yeah. And when other people are talking about him, he says, that's just an imposter on a throne of lies, when there's other Santas on the throne. The other imposters smell like beef and cheese. Many of you are going to be watching this movie later on today. You're going to be going, I know it's May, but it's raining out. Let's watch a good movie. Come on, somebody. Yeah. See, Buddy the Elf knows Santa, so he lights up. And see, so at work or maybe at a function or with people outside the church and they start talking about God or they start talking about things, we should light up and say, we know him. Come on. Yeah, you have to make it up. But many of us are like, oh, yeah, that's God. I'm like, I don't want to know that God. That's God. There we go to church. No, it's a personal relationship in which we know him. And if you believe that, it changes your behavior to line up with God the Father. We sang a song this morning. I'm his child. I know him. And you know what else is so cool? He knows me. And he knows everything about me and still likes me. Way better than you. I didn't say he likes me better than you. I said he likes me more than you like me. That's what I'm trying to say. Come on. No, see, but something happens when you know God. It's personal here. That's the framework of all of our lives. When you believe this, you have more joy. My God got this. I don't know what your this is, but God got it. God the Father, an invitation to know and love God well. That's what we're doing here. And then it gets better. He's God the Creator. He's God the Creator. That's right, he's a creator. In Psalm 19, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. Yeah, it just keeps getting better and better and better. He's created all this. There's two things I just really so much love. I love sunrises. I love sunsets. So if I'm on the East Coast, I'm getting up early. I want to see that sunrise because it's so beautiful. And when I'm on the West Coast and I'll be visiting, when I visit my son out there, he knows that if I'm out there like four nights, at least three of them, we're going to the beach. We're going to just sit there and quiet. We're going to watch the splendor of God because I see him. I experience him. I know him. Listen, that's my God. He created that. Yeah, creator is so important. But listen, the problem is that many of us, we don't really believe that. In 10th grade, had this class, and there was a teacher. And I'm going to be honest, in 10th grade, all I cared about who I was sitting with and what was for lunch. And will I be able to pass this course? Come on. Three basic worries. That's all I had. Yeah. And so the teacher stood up. He was talking about evolution. And he said very confidently, oh, yeah, you can be a Christian. You can believe in creation. God created. But then there's evolution. You can believe in both of those because they're both simultaneously fine. And so, again, I was only interested in who was beside me, lunch. And I thought, if I need to know this to get through this class, I'm in. No, I'm serious. So I just said, okay. But later on, I realized as I looked for myself, like, wait a minute. There's agnostics and atheists who tell you that you can't believe in miracles. There's no such thing as miracles. You can't believe in them. There's no such thing. You're crazy if you believe in miracles. But then they claim that they get one miracle and you get none. They claim that this whole world was created with a big bang and a certain circumstance happened. They are allowed to believe that, but you're not allowed to believe in God. And they say that we're the unintelligent ones. I'm not making fun. I'm trying to show you how you come to a conclusion. As you reasonably and logically look at things, I have looked at all the world religions. I have examined them. Christianity is the only free gift from God that you don't earn or deserve, but that we get it through Jesus Christ. That is a game changer. It's the only one that the God we serve came to earth, died, buried, rose again, ascended into heaven to prepare us a place. No, this is game-changing stuff. We just take it for granted. And when you believe this, it changes everything. It really, really does here. That it does. And that's what they keep trying to tell you. Romans 1. So what happens when we don't believe in creation? Romans 1:20. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, that means experience God. So there were people who experienced God. They said they know him. Yeah, but they did not honor him as God. Or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, foolish in their hearts, and fearful in their actions. A result of not having God, the creator of the earth and all that is in it, we start to go in futile mind, foolish heart, fearful action. This is what happens when we don't honor him, thank him, recognize him. This word thanks here, it's a word where we get to, it's a Greek word, eucharistio, Eucharist, which is where we get the word Eucharist. For those in Catholic faith, you might remember that was the Eucharist. But Eucharist really means acknowledging that God's grace works well. It's thanksgiving. In just a few moments, we're going to have communion together, and we're going to remember God. We're going to remember that his grace works well. We're going to remember him. We're going to thank him and honor him. Why do we honor God? Because it's a foundation. Why did we sing songs? The songs that we sang earlier today, so beautifully orchestrated and done. We're not just the prep. We're not the opening show for the word. It's all communicating, and it does me good to remind myself where I came from. I have a Father in heaven, the creator of the whole entire earth. Are you tracking that? Because if we don't, if we say that this world is just random, if we say that we're all here randomly, we're not here on any purpose, we begin to live very selfish lives, futile, foolish, and fearful. Could it be that one of the reasons why we live in a culture and society right now that is suffering from more anxiety, fear, and depression than ever before, and my heart breaks for this. Could it be that it's directly related to removing God as a father and the creator of the world and all that is in it? Because when we remove ourselves from that, we're left with futile, foolish, and fearful. And we're left with emptiness because we're stuck in ourselves. We're stuck to figure it all out on our own rather than look to God. Let's look to Him. Let's learn to trust Him. And let's do it together. Colossians 1:16, for by Him all things were created in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him. For Him. When we believe this, everything's been created for a reason. I've been created by Him and I've been created for Him. And it settles the issue that I know where I came from. God, my Father, formed me. I know who I am, a child of God. And I know where I'm heading. I was not created for here on earth. I was created for heaven. And if you believe that, it changes your behavior. How many of you have a cell phone? How many of you have a computer? How many of you have ever been frustrated because they don't work properly? Now, I may have my phone. I have a computer right now that's not working right. Driving me crazy. I may possess that computer, but I didn't create that computer. It was created with a certain function and purpose. And my wife keeps telling me, you need to take it to get checked. And I'm like, I ain't got time for that. And so I keep telling her. I know that if I would take time and take it back to the Creator, they could tell me what's wrong. But I just choose to be fascinated or frustrated or whatever it may be every day. We do the same with our phones. I own it, I possess it, but I didn't create it. And when it's not working right, most of the time, my friends tell me, what it probably needs is an update. Do you know one of the things that we get every Sunday when we're here? An update. We have to hit refresh. And go back to the way that the Creator designed us to live. And when we go back to the manufacturer, we go back to the Creator, we see how life was meant to be lived. And this is what we get. We get in order with Him. In Genesis 1:27, God created male and female. He created them in His own image. God blessed them with a purpose and said, be fruitful and multiply. We get our identity in the way God created us. We can get mad. We can spit. We can yell. We can holler about all identity things in the world. But you know what? Let me just tell you this. If we go back to the way God created us, life begins to work. Many of our problems is because we haven't updated to a new operating system in our lives, a new belief system that we really need to have. God the Father, creator of heaven and earth and all that is in it. And when we do that, we see Him. I mentioned our marriage. Our marriage was created by God and for God. Times it's an adventure, times it's a mystery. But you know what? We work it out because our marriage wasn't created for us. It was created for a bigger purpose. See, why do we say things about marriage and all the things that are going on in our culture? And I'm not bashing anything. What I'm trying to say to you is, why do we believe what we believe? Because if we say marriage, that term marriage was created by God and for God, to use the word marriage for anything else between a man and a woman is an assault on my religion. I'm not just being bigoted. I'm not a racist of any kind. What I'm saying is it's a biblical religious term. See, so when I say things, I don't have to yell. I don't have to put anybody else down. I can just stand up for what my God, because in my religion of who God is, this is what I believe and why. See, are you tracking me here? But our operating system doesn't allow us to believe certain things and have certain things. When in reality, this solves it. Human life has meaning and purpose. Why? Because of God the Creator. And if we remove Him, then human life is up to us. And we get to determine what happens. Is this helping you today? See, I'm trying to help you. You can believe this stuff. And you say, well, I can't articulate like you. I get tongue-tied with the best of them. But as I break it down and I say, God my Father, God my Creator, who created me. I want to read to you a couple more verses in Psalm 100. Know that the Lord, He is God. He is the one who made us. He is the one who made us. He made us. And we are
His.
We are His.
Joy.
This is filled with things when you believe it. It's a game changer. When you believe that we are His people, designed and created for Him to be under His rule, big game changer. The sheep of His pasture enter His gates with thanksgiving. These words, thanks here, it's a Hebrew word. It's open arms like this. This is what that means. When you say thanksgiving, yeah, that's what that means. It's a Hebrew word. And His courts with praise. That's Hallel. That's like shout it out. Bless His name, for the Lord is good and steadfast love endures. I've been created for heaven. And His faithfulness to all. Yeah. This is a fancy way. I know I'm using the word doctrinal. This is basic belief. He created us. We belong to Him. I'm going to live this life of thanks. I'm going to live this life of praise. Bless His holy name. Yeah. I'm not bragging, but I know Him. And all others are an imposter on a throne of lies. I'm not saying that arrogantly. I'm just saying it because I know that I know that I know that I know. I have not been created for here. I have not been created for you. I've been not created to make you happy. I've been not created to make you feel good for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning. I've been created for heaven. And God created us for a people that He's coming back for. And if that excites you, would you do me a favor? Would you stand to your feet this morning? Come on, somebody. How many of y'all are encouraged this morning? Come on. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this great group of people here today, Lord. And I pray, Father, that God, that God the Father and God the Creator are going to become so real to every person here, Lord God. Help us live out, Lord God, what it really means to have a protector, a provider, and personal, Lord God, to honor You, to praise You, to trust You, Lord God. God, thank You, Father. Now, before we move right now, just stay right where you are. If you don't have a day or a moment or a time that Jesus Christ, in Him alone, has become your only way to heaven by what He did on the cross. We sang songs this morning about the blood of Jesus, by the shed blood of Jesus. I want to invite you into a relationship, not to a religion, not to religious habits, but a relationship where you can spend the rest of your life here on earth figuring out what just happened. So if you're here today and you would like to place your faith in Jesus Christ and say, Father, I want You to come and not just be a part of my life, but be my life. I want to be Your follower. Be my forgiver. Be my leader. I want to confess you today. If that's you right now, right here, real bold and real joyful, hey, just slip up your hand right now. I'm just going to thank God for you. Anybody here today that you're saying, man, that is me today. I got to make today my day. Anybody here today? Just why I can't close without doing this. This is so vitally important. Anybody here today? Just slip up your hand. Say, today is my day. Today is my day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.